In our continuing effort to meet the candidates in my riding, Vancouver-Kensington, I'm joined on the line by Charles Boylan, the candidate for the People's Front. A week and a half ago, the NDP challenger David Chudnovsky appeared, who was followed a week ago by the BC Liberal incumbent Patrick Wong. Charles Boylan was raised in East Vancouver. He is an educator and longtime political activist. He was a candidate for the Marxist-Leninist Party in the 2004 federal election. Mr. Boylan also hosts programming on CFRO Radio 102.7 FM. Please welcome to the commentary.ca Charles Boylan. Good morning, Mr. Boylan.
Good morning to you, and thank you for having me.
I've always been interested as to why people run for political office, whether that be with small or large parties, but in particular why people like yourself run for the smaller parties. Is there something about the sort of so-called establishment parties that turns you off about them?
Well, the main reason I run is because I am interested in major political and economic transformation of Canadian society. Elections offer you a forum to present views. I think the election process is very skewed, and if you ask me personally, do I like running in these kinds of elections? No, I do not, because there is no real forum for the citizenry to tackle the problems that face our society and, as a polity, as a collective, come to grips with solutions for those problems. In other words, we're excluded from decision-making. So I run in order to organize for renewal of this democracy, because I think we need a major change to put people in decision-making. That is the key to getting out of the crises that our society is going into more and more deeply.
I guess the question, another question would be, being a realist, do you think you'll win?
Well, I don't think I can win at all in this election. I would hope to reach enough people to persuade them that voting for the establishment parties is a waste of a vote. It is actually a mark against yourself. It's a mark for disenfranchisement. But I would, and so therefore I would argue, say, voting for People's Front is a vote of protest. It's a vote of saying no to the major parties, a vote to say yes to political renewal. Now, I would also say that if STV, and I know we'll talk about this later, were passed by the citizenry, and People's Front fully supports STV, BCSTV, we ask people to vote yes for that, because there would be a opportunity for independent and small party candidates like myself to appeal to the electorate to say, look, out of one out of five people, put a voice like mine in the legislature. We need that kind of radical critique of the status quo, defender of rights of people, to be in the legislature. So there might be a possibility in the election in 2009, say, to get elected.
We met on Wednesday at the All Candidates Forum at Little Mountain Place. I noticed between the four candidates that were there that three of you, the NDP challenger, the Green nominee, and yourself had more in common than you did with Patrick Wong of the Liberals. Are you afraid that vote splitting could occur and that he could come up the middle and win again?
Well, of course, that always happens with first past the post. It's a very bad electoral system. And I'm just trying to place, was that the health meeting?
That was the health and seniors, yeah.
Right. Well, you'll notice also at that meeting, which I do believe was organized by people affiliated with the NDP, or at least supportive of the NDP, absolutely refused to allow me to participate as a candidate there.
Oh, no, I think this was the one in the afternoon on Wednesday.
Okay, at the
seniors' home?
Oh, at the seniors' home, yeah. Right. Now, that was a much better atmosphere because they had the democratic spirit to have everybody, all candidates. I mean, I just mentioned that because there has been a tendency in recent elections to try and exclude small party candidates from participating, and this is part of the marginalization of the citizenry that goes on, and similarly in terms of media coverage. And I think that that's one of the real problems of modern democracy. There has to be a level playing field for everyone selected to be a candidate, and I would hold that selections of candidates by the citizenry will overcome the very problem you're speaking to, which is how not to defeat people who have a similar social and political agenda. But if you're saying that there's a similarity between me and the People's Front and the NDP, you're very seriously mistaken. On the question of the Liberal program, they have stated, Carol James has reiterated time and again, they will keep intact the last 4 years of wrecking, privatization of the BC Rail, the CPR, of the 5,000 HU workers that were sacked, of the new Forestry Act. They're going to keep that in place. To me, this is a total abrogation of their responsibility as an opposition party, supposedly representing an alternative direction. For the People's Front, we will reverse those cutbacks. We will reverse the tax breaks to the rich. We need to go in another direction. An alternative world is what we want to create, and that requires the full participation of the citizenry in shaping what direction we go in, confronting these big monopolies like Weyerhaeuser, like TELUS, which is throwing BC workers off the job and is putting pressure on the union to liquidate whatever gains they've made over the years, and other private monopolies of this kind, and putting the people in control of their destiny here.
So you reject the NDP's argument that better us than the Liberals, or we're the lesser of two evils, so
well, what
us.
What would be, you know, if the NDP had come forthrightly to the people of British Columbia and said, look, this is the devastation they have done, we will turn the clock back and go forward. That is to say, we will undo the assault made on our social programs. They have not done that. They said, we will incorporate this. We will leave this as a status quo. And one has to remember that New Labour, so-called third way Tony Blair, has been the architect of public-private partnerships, of privatization of social programs, of dismantling the British medical healthcare system, and of tagging Britain together with the United States, George Bush's foreign policy invasion of Iraq. In other words, it's reaction. It's not progress. And I do believe Carol James is marching along that same road, and that's a great detriment to the people of BC, and especially to many NDP voters, NDP followers, who very sincerely, like myself, want to find an alternative to this Liberal assault on our program.
Talk to us about the People's Front. How many candidates are you running in this election?
We're running five in this election. We're running a candidate on Vancouver Island in Comox Valley. We're running Dorothy Jean, and that's Barbara Biley. She's a healthcare worker, a woman healthcare worker. Dorothy Jean O'Donnell is a woman lawyer running in Yale Lillooet, one of the indigenous fighters for sovereignty. Frank Martin, the grandson of Mungo Martin, the famous carver, is running in up north in Bulkley Valley, Stikine, and Donna Peterson is running in the riding next to mine, and she's running in Vancouver Kingsway. So there are five of us all together, and as you say, I'm running in Vancouver Kensington.
So talk to us about some of the issues that you're bringing forward in this campaign. You talked on Wednesday at this forum that I was at, and a lot of people seem to agree with a lot of what you had to say. Whether they'll vote for you or not, that we'll see that on the 18th of May.
Well, the thing that People's Front and I bring to the election is some spunk, is some spark of resistance to this assault that is going on society by these giant monopolies, largely U.S. monopolies like Weyerhaeuser and now TELUS, U.S. Owned and so on, that is a kind of program for literally wrecking the society and maximizing their profit. That's their sole interest in economic activity, just to maximize the rate of return. And doing it at the expense of the workers. You see the big assault on the General Motor workers now. Sacrifice your health care system and this will bring GM back into profitability. You have the same thing with Stelco. Sack your pension plans, this will bring Stelco back into profitability. Everywhere you go, the assault is on the very people who create, generate the wealth by their hard work, by their intelligence, by their training, and tell them that they have to reduce their Canadian standard of living to a lower standard of living in order to make the country run. We reject that. We give a crystal clear call. Another world is possible. And that world is the world where those who create the wealth have the decisive say in how to organize the economy, how to put the interests of the people first, how to invest in social programs, what social programs they should invest in, how to build the economy. In other words, a nation-building project, a project that will recognize the indigenous peoples as sovereign peoples, give them pride of place in this project, recognize all the rights of the immigrant minorities, and create a society worthy of human beings, worthy of preserving nature. That's what we're looking toward.
When you go around campaigning or at forums like the one last Wednesday, do you find people are receptive of your message, of the program that you're advocating for?
Absolutely. There's no question about it. And I only wish I had more energy, more resources, and a larger organized force so that we could really put a voice like mine, or Dorothy Jean's, or Donna Peterson, or any of the other people's front candidates, Frank Martin, into the legislature, because I do believe this would add to the quality of political discourse in British Columbia. At present, there's not really a bold, fearless, clear-cut alternative to the entire status quo. That voice has got to register. It's got to, and it has resonance, you see. People in their hearts, even though they kind of fear the power of the United States, or they say, oh, Jesus, it's never going to change, you know, we've always going to have the status. No, it speaks to their hearts, because in their hearts they want to do something different, bold, innovative, new. They want to create something new in life so that, you know, human beings can emerge with the dignity that they should have. We're the greatest species on this planet, and we need to fulfill that, you know, greatness of potential that we have. But we can't do that when those who govern, those who rule, have the most pigeon-hearted, mean-minded spirit to just put as much money in their pocket as they can, and then devil take the hindmost, fend for yourself. This mentality, this is a backward mentality. This is the mentality of the dinosaurs of the human species. And so, yes, it does resonate.
How do you change that? How do you change people's beliefs, though? People, you know, there are some in the society who love the status quo, who are ensconced in it and wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
Well, my heart goes to them, you know, because one only has to, you know, it means really they don't care, they're unconcerned. I can't walk down the streets of downtown Vancouver these days without being asked for money by homeless people, by people with mental illness or with drug addictions. I see the poverty creeping up around us all over the place. I see the kind of suffering imposed by Canada, France, and the United States and Haiti. I see the kind of suffering. I visited South America. I've seen the kind of suffering there which the people are trying to bring an end to. And in all of this, if you don't have a heart for the people, I mean, if you're so smug and complacent that all you care about is driving your new car or watching TV or taking cocaine or smoking pot, well, you know, I wish you well in life. But quite frankly, if they have their way, this species is doomed to a third world war, and it's going to be a nuclear war, and it's going to be devastating. We must learn from our parents' and our grandparents' experience and realize that if less humanity stands up for an alternative to this present dog-eat-dog world of empire building, we will suffer the consequences. So I'm saying by fighting now for our collective interest, by showing spunk, by showing resistance, by fighting the way the TELUS workers are fighting or the way the hospital workers fought so valiantly last year, unless we take up that spirit and really go for our collective interests against these private monopolies, then I think we will have, we'll suffer harm. But I'm confident that humanity is, you know, rising up, the consciousness is rising up, and the hope for an alternative world is getting bigger.
Yes to STV, you're one of the few candidates who are actually coming out in this campaign and saying that you are in favor of STV and will be voting yes in this referendum. Talk to us about why you in particular are supporting the single transferable vote.
Yes, well, first of all, let me just say that our radio show, which you alluded to, Wake Up with Co-op, which is on at 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 102.7 FM at 7 to 9 a.m., as I said, we have devoted a regular feature for every day before the election for somebody from the Citizens Assembly or other supporters of STV to champion this yes vote on May 17th for BCSTV. Why personally I support it is this. Any reform in the voting system that gives more power to the voters and takes power away from the party, then I favor it. Because democracy is key. Modern democracy means that all of us, all citizens, have a responsibility, have a duty to participate actively in politics. And there can be no greater participation in politics than by collectively defining and defending the interests wherever you are, whether it's healthcare workers in the healthcare field or lumber workers in the wood industry, or you name it. By expanding the possibility of voter determination of who the MLAs are, they will have more control over their MLA, and as I said, it will open at ability to having a representative like myself or some other representative who has an alternative vision to get elected to the legislature in Victoria.
Are you there, Charles?
I certainly am.
I thought we lost you there for a sec. When you campaign and you talk to people, are they in favor of STV? Are there knowledge gaps?
The vast majority of people who know anything about the electoral system are definitely in favor of STV. There are large parts of the population, and here I directly criticize both the Liberals and the NDP, and also criticize the Green Party for not having used the period after the Assembly decision to the present to make a wide popular education about this to the citizenry. So there are many citizens who have simply been left out of information, and this is an unfortunate consequence, I believe, of the big parties wanting to pretend they are for reform. In this case, the Liberals did take a good initiative, and I give them full credit for establishing the Citizens' Assembly. It was an excellent initiative. The Assembly did its work, but the Liberal government failed to provide it with the means to educate the public as to why they, after all their consideration, they decided on STV, what it means, and so forth. So in a manner of speaking, it's sort of a back...
Charles, thanks so much for joining us today. Where can people get information about your campaign if they want to talk to you about your candidacy and about your party?
Okay, they can reach us by email at bcpeoplesfront@yahoo.ca, or they can telephone us at 778-772-8550. And we're also holding some discussions on Friday evenings, and if people want to be invited to participate in that, do give us a call at 778-772-8550.
Charles Boylan is the People's Front candidate in Vancouver, Kensington. Charles, thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Good luck to you on your campaign.
Thank you, sir.
Charles Boylan, People's Front candidate, 778-772-8550. The email is bcpeoplesfront@yahoo.ca. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Plano.